the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
The crypto meltdown. Is it an opportunity or a trap? Bitcoin is down 31% since peaking at $126,000 in October. That may look like a disaster to those new to crypto, but for those who've been in the market a little while longer, 70 or even 80% drawdowns are not uncommon. Surprisingly, altcoins are down around just 20% since the market peak, though that's the average, with some individual coins down 60% or more. The Nasdaq is down just 8% and the S&P 500 about 6%. So it's clear that cryptos are bearing the brunt of the market jitters. Joining us to make sense of this is Shiven Moodley, macro strategist and CEO of Novaque. Hi, Shiven. Good to talk to you again. What do you make of all of this? Is this an opportunity or a trap for crypto investors?
Hey, Kieran. Good to be back. And, you know, it's been, almost a month since we last spoke, and the world's changed so drastically looking across AI bubble, crypto, and I think everything relating to geopolitics and macro. But is it a trap or is it a great time to buy? I think it depends on the strategy that the retail customer is taking. And when we're looking at that now, we're looking at if you're dollar cost averaging, it's actually a great time to get into the market. It brings your dollar cost all the way down. And I know a lot of people listen to the previous podcast as well. And they were thinking, oh, $150,000 is an option or in the way of actually, how should I say, taking advantage. And I was looking at the market a bit more in a higher level, but the market's changed quite significantly, and it's a great time to actually, if you're looking at dollar cost averaging, getting back into the market.
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering whether this is in fact a bear market for real or just a drawdown before the next bull market. I guess we should probably be mindful of the fact that the crypto market has gone through drawdowns of 30% very frequently in the past. Where do you stand on this? Is this in fact a bear market for real?
So is it a bear market? I don't think so. I think it's a price correction in a sort of a broader market. But what we've seen internally is that the 365-day moving average in price action was a great support level, but in the last week or so, price really took a dip beyond that, and that's what's caused greater concern. So the aggression in which price fell was a bit more steeper than what we thought in our previous thesis. And when we're looking back to how this price fell prior cases, it really found support. It was over an 80-day period, and it fell around about 30 to 40% in that 80 days. And if we're looking at it now from where the double top was formed just after 14th October, where we made our last podcast together, that double top is caused significant price depreciation. And you're only halfway into that 80-day sort of drawdown cycles. But this time, instead of finding support, it's really aggressively pushed down. So, you know, looking at price action, where we're seeing now is I know Michael Saylor and a lot of the institutions are around about a dollar cost averaging around 73 to about 65, 63, about 70 odd to 60. And I think that poses an interesting level for a majority of the market. But, you know, looking at the cycle, I think it's a lot of aggression, but it's taking in a lot of the AI macro factors in the equity market into it this time as well.
Yeah, I mean, for Bitcoin maximalists, I guess these are fairly testing times. You mentioned Michael Saylor of Strategy, who, of course, is the chief evangelist for Bitcoin. He's accumulated more than 640,000 Bitcoin, and I just checked the price this morning. That's worth about $56 billion. That's not small money. And his average purchase price is slightly below the current market price. So, you know, he's definitely above water at these prices. But once again, as we've seen in the past, people are questioning the wisdom of this. Do you think he'll be vindicated? You know, he's all in on Bitcoin. Do you think he'll be vindicated in the long run?
So I think every time price dips to his significant levels, I think a lot of people have always questions. He is shown to be really, really mindful of where that price action is and sort of defending his thesis on that. But it's become really interesting looking forward, and I'm sure him having obviously MicroStrategy listed as well, he's taken a few options, so put options to protect his downside risk overall. And that would have been really interesting in a period like this, because that's a significant drawdown that would have triggered his put options in the market. But when looking at this, I think he still has some time to play. I think if price does drop to those low 60 marks, I think that's where it's going to be quite interesting. I think he's going to receive a lot of pressure, but I think it's just going to give him more opportunity to buy, because it does pose a great advantage for a lot of the larger institutions, the sovereign wealth funds that want to get into crypto, can't actually just go buy 60,000 BTC off one go. They're gonna cause a massive price move, but also have massive slippage in that. And acquiring MicroStrategy in a way in which they have longevity, I think is going to be a bit more advantageous.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of people are buying MicroStrategy, well, which is called Strategy now. They're buying that as a proxy for Bitcoin, but there's a premium that you're paying there. What is the state of that premium at the moment, and is it worth, people who are thinking, well, maybe I go in via Strategy into Bitcoin, or I buy Bitcoin direct. What's the market saying about this?
So I think the premium is something that everyone is looking at, and it's obviously an opportunity of getting into something like this, because they would buy it either by MicroStrategy or buy directly from MicroStrategy if he's selling it at a point, right? But when looking at a bigger scale, I think these sovereign wealth funds are going to be looking at the long run. The thesis that Michael Saylor has is holding Bitcoin for 100 years, for example. And when going through that in more detail, I think the sovereign wealth funds are actually going to look at, okay, if there's a drawdown, and how is he protecting it? And I think that's where the put options are going to be coming into play, because if you're running that premium and price is falling 30% because you're a proxy, you might see 92, maybe a bit more, if you get into a worst case scenario, particularly with this AI bubble that's coming in. How is energy getting to maybe mining infrastructure, and what's happening within this ecosystem?
All right, let's talk about altcoins for a moment. Altcoins being everything other than Bitcoin in the crypto space. Wall Street seems to be taking a view or a bet that Ethereum and smart contracts are the backbone of the new business rail. Solana, there's fairly big bets being placed on that at the moment as well because of the speed with which it can transact. So that would be very beneficial for a payment system. But a lot of the altcoins look like absolute dogs at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's been a bloodbath on altcoins. I've definitely taken a hit across the board, but I think it's personally, it's like looking at my portfolio thesis, it's an opportunity to get back in into a lot of the coins that were a bit overvalued in terms of my thesis of what centralization becoming more popularized. Decentralization is going to be something that people would look at. Protocols that are developing for utility, and we're seeing this. How should I say? There was something in the AL16Z, which is one of the largest hedge funds or venture capital firms, and they were talking about in their recent report that Bitcoin is sort of becoming this teenager, this young adult, and by become because it's 18 years out of since Satoshi pushed out that paper just over. And when looking at these altcoins, the founders that are building these companies now are looking at what are the next stages and who's going to be that use case. And when we're looking at layer one, Ethereum being that ecosystem for Wall Street, I think everyone's looking at the opportunity to say, what is the utility in terms of tokenization, real world assets? What is the opportunity to move money faster? And what is the security in keeping anonymity within the chain to keep blockchain to its true value?
Right. Now, if 2026 just around the corner, What are you looking at? What do you think is shaping up? If you think this is probably not a bear market, but just a fairly serious drawdown, presumably you think the market will rebound from here. But what should we be looking out for in 2026?
So some things I'm key looking at right now is where does this AI bubble sit? And we know that there's 10 companies eating from itself and eating from one balance sheet in terms of just keeping the liquidity circulating to buy chips and feed one another. But when we start looking at 2026, if this starts getting louder and what and louder in terms of, okay, is this going to cause systemic risk throughout the market, particularly an over leveraging in the market, I think becomes really interesting. And when we're looking at geopolitics as well, we're looking at Ukraine's peace deal that's currently on the table from the US. What does that mean if Ukraine don't accept this peace deal? And that is a key factor. There's rumors of this tariff subsidy that's coming in from Trump, which is also interesting if no one's heard about. It's all the revenue generated from these tariffs will be feeding back to certain sectors, but also to certain recipients or individuals in order to support the economy. It's like a grant, for example, like how you had those stimmy checks earlier in COVID. And then we're looking at Japan as well. I think Japan's interest or inflation is just above 2%, and it's causing a bit of concern in terms of is the government going to step in? And I think this is where I'm looking at this week, because that will they defend that 157 mark yen to the dollar? I think it's a crucial level in terms of how they're going to look at that into the new year. All of this really puts together, and another one is also the autumn winter budget that comes in from the UK. There's a lot of money sitting in the UK, and if there's a lot of pressure or uncertainty coming out of the UK, we're likely going to see this withdrawal of capital. But in all of that together, the Fed's looking a bit shaky as well in terms of what's coming into the market into the new year, considering all the macro factors. But all of that really just puts a lot of pressure into high beta trades, and high beta trades being crypto. So I think, we might see a bit more of a significant drawdown and some pressure into that. But let's see what comes of it.
Shivan, final question. What is the cause of this meltdown, if we can call it a meltdown? Because, the S&P's down a bit and Nasdaq's down a bit and, trillions been wiped off market capitalization, all that kind of thing. But is it that significant, and is this systemic to the market?
So looking at what's happening on chain, and then translating that into what we're seeing in the market. So as I mentioned, AI as a whole is causing some uncertainty and risk. The Fed is equally doing that. But when we're looking at what's happening on chain, since that double top just after 14th October, around about 17th, we've seen something happen really interesting that's causing this price fall quite significantly, and that is short term holders are aggressively selling. So anyone that had that really got into this market with anyone from their gardener to their uncle that they never heard of telling them to buy Bitcoin, saw this price drop, automatically started selling. And we saw this aggressive selling in wallets where coins were not longer than 155 days. So that was something really interesting. But with that selling in these spot wallets, there's also been large outflows within ETFs as well, which has also been rather interesting. And that's really caused this price drop significantly. But in addition to that, it's the overall market risk and appetite, where these high beta trades or such as crypto are really coming under pressure, and that could equally be something such as more uncertainty coming from maybe credit, large groups of people struggling with unemployment creeping into the market, festive season profit taking in order to spend a bit of capital over December. And I guess there's quite a few triggers. But overall, in the space that we're seeing currently, it's a bit uncertain right now. But depending on your strategy, if you're accumulating, again, it's still a great time to be accumulating. But if you're trading and waiting it out, I think there's good levels to be taken advantage of as we start to see the price breakdown. And yeah, so I'm not 100% sure I can call it a bear market yet.
And we're going to leave it there. That was Shiven Mudli, CEO of Novaic. Thanks very much for joining us, Shiven.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.